Free Fire Radio. And now, Free Fire Radio. About to commence.
Yeah, welcome to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. Good morning. It's Carl and Linda Bott, 7:05 in the morning, December 23rd.
And why are you amped up this morning?
Because the kids are coming to town today.
Yeah, first time in 3 years.
Not only that, but hey, you know what? There's still 2 shopping days till Christmas. You know, you get up early on that December 25th, she's still asleep. You run down. You race to the nearest 7-Eleven. You look in there. Look, there's aspirin. I know. I'm going to need aspirin for later when she sees just what I bought her. Hey, good morning. Hey, we're joined today.
A tire.
I got her a new tire for the car.
New rims.
Yeah. Hey, you know, hey, we're joined today by Bad Bob.
And may I say, without a hint of apology or political correctness, Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. And it's getting close. Yeah, tomorrow's Christmas Eve. So, our phone line's here, 605-4567. And we are streaming and chatting on KCNR1460.com because I know, gents, that some of you out there are still scrambling to find something for your loved one there for this Christmas.
That is just a kind of a cruel game.
You know, speaking of cruel games. No. Hello, honey. Good morning.
Patchy fog today. You always have to start off with the weather if you're just tuning in. And your feet are hitting the floor. We went to Costco yesterday, and finally I broke down and had to have it. It has been Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, the claymation version, you know, or when, what's her name? Clarice sings, "There's always tomorrow," to Rudolph. I must have been fourth or fifth grade when that first hit. From the 60s.
That was well before my time.
Yes. And, of course, earlier in the week we talked about favorite Christmas movies. And I brought the DVD set yesterday. So, Bob, inside this DVD set was a CD. It's in the other room. I'll bring it out. Maybe we can pop in a couple tunes while we're on the show this
morning. For tomorrow. Tomorrow's Christmas Eve.
Well, you know what happened on this day? Love to talk about that. But let's talk about the weather. There is patchy fog today with a high of 53, and it is currently 41 degrees here in the North State.
We do have a weather alert if you're going to go traveling in the mountains. Saturday looks good. However, Saturday night into Sunday morning could be a little rough, so you may want to factor that into your travel plans.
We plan on taking the kids tobogganing up on, is it Eskimo?
Eskimo
Hill.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. He had a broad face and a little round belly that shook when he laughed like a bowl full of jelly. There's hardly a soul alive who couldn't identify this as the description of Santa Claus. These words were published for the first time on this day in 1823 in the Troy, New Jersey Sentinel. Now the record. The poem we know as The Night Before Christmas or A Visit from St. Nicholas by Clement C. Moore was published anonymously under the newspaper editor's title Account of a Visit from St. Nicholas. There's a whole bunch more there, but basically, it was published on this day.
Wow, Night Before Christmas.
Yes.
My favorite one was, it was a takeoff of Night Before Christmas, but it was about a Marine standing guard in different places throughout the world so people could enjoy Christmas. And that's part of what we always want to remember is that while we're enjoying Christmas and we're having the parties and we're having the presents and the food and everything is not to forget them, not to forget our loved ones, not to forget our brothers and sisters and sons and daughters, mothers and fathers that are out. That are out in harm's way during this season. And, you know, it's what can you say? You know, our thoughts, our prayers, our best wishes go out to all of our warriors out there and their families. We got to take a break. Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460.
Bob's playing air guitar.
Free Fire Media. Phone lines here are 605-4567, and we're streaming at KCNR1460.com.
Got a lot of stuff to cover today, but this portion of the show is brought to you Mike's Music. Okay, guys, head on over to Mike's Music. It's on Cypress, behind Safeway over there off of Pine. So if you're going down Cypress, from the Pine area. You turn in the right behind where they pump gas. And Mike's Music is in a little strip mall back there. And when you go in, you are going to get local. You're going to get Mike is making deals. There's a big sale going on. So if you wanted to get that guitar and that amp, don't buy it at Costco. Sorry, Costco folks. Go to Mike's Music. Get your guitar and amp. Get your instructions. Get the lessons that are going to be going with the sell of, and that when you return it, somebody can really explain to you what the instrument is. If you have to return it, you know anything about that, they're going to give you all the descriptions of that instrument. Knowledge, the place to go. Mike's Music.
Okay. Speaking of Costco, we did go there. Okay, why do we go to Costco? Because they have...
some things that...
they have some things there that you can't get anywhere else, like... the Bully Bones for Elk Killer. You know, if we don't get Bully Bones for Elk Killer, she becomes really nasty. And she's been known to do things in revenge, like rip clothes apart. She one time held down the post office, the mail person.
How about
and
a
held the mail person down, mailman, mail girl down, till we gave her a bully bone.
How about a shout out to Greg?
Yeah, Greg.
I love it. You know, meet this guy.
We met Greg in there yesterday, and he's been listening, long-time listener.
I have another shout-out, and not to get off the subject, because I know we want to talk about the people who you wanted to talk about, Costco. Twyman Plumbing, thank you so much. You know, there's nothing better than having a plumber. It's just our house.
This has been a long week. You know, electricians, plumbers. You know, I'm just waiting to see. No,
don't.
Knock on wood.
Please.
Beautiful. Okay.
So, you know, of course, the pipeline, the major pipeline is totally backed up, which means the toilet's still flush or whatever.
And the kids are coming
today. Yes. Yeah. So Twyman came out last night, and he just was Johnny on the spot. I can't say enough. And so thank you so much.
Okay, let's go to the phones. Dan, good morning.
Good morning, Linda and Carl. How are you?
Good morning.
We're fine.
I just wanted to call and say Merry Christmas to both of you.
Thank you
very
much.
Merry Christmas.
And I also wanted to comment on Alana Burke, and I think that that's a fantastic choice. I just love her.
Oh,
well, thank you. You know, Dan, what we're trying, you know, as we explained was, as we move forward in this new year, we have a number of shows on Saturdays and Sundays, and they're really all of them enjoyable shows. In fact, we're adding three new shows here. We're going to be making announcements here in the next week or so to the programming on the weekends, and then we wanted also to open up our weeks too. So we thought Lana is a great personality with great comments, and thought we'd let her have a chance daily here.
Yeah, well, that's really good. I'm glad you're doing that. Also, I want to say happy anniversary. I didn't get to call you guys. And I just wanted to tell you, it was kind of funny when that came out. I didn't realize it was already a year. And then I thought to myself, I don't think I've ever missed a single radio show listening to you guys.
Is that
right?
Wow. I had a call today and say, I'm pretty sure I haven't missed anything. So wow. I just want to say Merry Christmas, and you keep up the good work, and we're all here pulling for you. So.
Hey, that your
Dan,
call today
thank you so much.
Is that has given us, just like Greg's comment yesterday in Costco. I mean, it. You guys keep us going when you think, how are we going to do this today? Well, because of people like you, Dan, and your call today has been our.
It's been our Christmas present. Thank you.
All right. Well, Merry Christmas to you, and we'll keep listening.
All right. Well, thank you so much.
You're welcome. Bye now.
Yeah, that's, you know what?
In the comment about Alana, if Alana is listening, she's got to be smiling because, you know, she's now chomping down on 5 days in every day, 5 days a week, a Saturday show. Alana is so, she's so articulate, so well-read, and so well-versed. She definitely, whether you agree with her or not, she has strong ideas and opinions, and is great for debating. I just really love her sharpness.
Yeah, and she does her homework. Okay, let's start asking. All right, we've been getting a lot of questions here out of the chat room. Okay, here's what happened to the electrical. Electrical guy comes in. We gave a shout out to him, I believe, already, and he rewired the GFIs, and so now all the lights are on now.
But I'm still afraid to plug in that one light, one line of Christmas light.
Yeah.
I just am, because it goes, it comes through the big orange.
No more Christmas lights on that side of the house. All right. Let's go back to Costco for a second. We were there getting the bully bones because the dog gets mean. And once that killer gets mean, she runs up, she jumps up on things, she has to be picked up, and when you pick her up, then she goes right for your throat. If you've ever been to Costco, they've got these places, I call them grazing stations, where you can graze, really you can graze through Costco as you get packed, you know, toward where the food is. You can go from spot to spot. There's ham, there's sausage, there's little dips. At the end, you can have like little desserts with fruit and things they hand out. And then you can wash it down with a vitamin C drink. You know, so this, you know, it as you go through. Well, but then I started watching this because after I was maneuvered adroitly out of the way by a guy with his cart and his wife, who sat there in front of the sausage place. Well, we moved on because we were looking for the bully bones. I just kept looking over my shoulder at this couple. They had to have been there for like 10 minutes while the woman who was frenziedly cooking the sausage, she got behind, I guess, so she could hand it to him. Those two sat there with their carts. They were obviously together. They had blocked it out from everybody. Then I started watching other people going. You see the same people. They go from spot to spot. They'd eat. They'd have, you know, there's no such things as lines. It's just who gets in there quickest. And they use the carts. I thought, you know, and I thought I knew tactics and strategy. You'd see them come up there, wheel away, kind of do a circle, do a half turn, right back into it. And I tell you what, grazing at Costco during the holidays just isn't easy. We got to take a break here. Carl and the Bot, Free Fire Radio. KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media.
What is up with you?
I was doing my version of
Russia at the Cossack Dance.
Of the Cossack Dance from the Nutcracker Ballet, or whatever that thing's called. 605-4567. See, we're just streaming. Wouldn't you just like to be able to see what goes on during these shows?
No, you really would.
Yeah,
Our second round at Costco trying to find that eggnog.
Yeah, I don't want to go there. Hey, you know, I was looking at the front page again with Record Searchlight. You know, Record Searchlight.
You're out of breath. You were doing that. Well, jumping up and down trying to twirl your feet.
No. Better in a stress test.
Here's the front page of the Record Searchlight. Hay Fork Wood Processing Plant shuts down. Rivers Restaurants closes. Cantor Diamonds closes.
Wow.
And it had something about Santa Claus. I thought that they were going to say, and Santa Claus doesn't use reindeer. You know, it's one thing to have, you can have a number of stories. But if Record Searchlight is trying to tell us something, you're too late, Record Searchlight. We know we're in trouble up here. We know the whole country's in trouble. I hate to see all these places close. Now, Cantor Diamonds closed back in October. The Hay Fork plant, which has like 29 people that it employs, that's going to have an impact on what's going on up there. I guess they could all then go to switch over to growing. But the Rivers, Chef Cal, Rod Rodriguez. Rod Rodriguez has always struck me as being a gentleman and a stand-up guy. And Cal, Chef Cal, has been a fixture here in Redding for, gosh, forever, I think. Nice guy, and just to have it closed down, I'm sorry to hear that. And I'm sorry to see that, again, more businesses shut down, even though that there was a report that the median income went up. But in reality, the overall income in the area went down because of the recession. We're at 15%. If you believe it, if we're at 15%, then you've been making too many trips to Hay Fork. The fact is that our unemployment is way over 20, and if you're adding in the underemployed, and the people who have quit looking, you know that it's way over 20%. And just like the nation's unemployment, they give you a 9.9%, which of course is bogus. It's probably closer to 12 nationwide, if not higher than that. California is in such bad shape, and you know one of the things. As you know, that it's difficult to do during this time of the year is point out or to address all of these situations which aren't good, because you know nothing's changing. You know that they're applauding and leaping up in the air. Obama's made these great strides because don't ask, don't tell. Passed again. Law of unintended consequences, my friends. Obama is saying now to people who left the service because they came out openly to announce their homosexuality is, hey, reenlist. Come on back in. He says it's about civil rights. It's not about that. It's about something else. And then the START Treaty. How many nuclear weapons does it take to destroy each other? Oh, I don't know. It's maybe 10 or 12. So we've got 1,500, they have 1,500. This was more of a bipartisan type bill. Now, the part is that the Russian economy is, you know, in the tubes. Us, you know, that them not having to keep it modernized saves them money. That's fine. You know, I'm not a big thing on that. You start talking about tactical nukes, which I believe is not part of this, could be a problem. And the other part, too, is are they scrubbing launching systems? I didn't see anything about them scrubbing nuke subs. I did see where bombers would be reduced. If this is Obama's way of making us safer, okay, this did get a lot of bipartisan support. So we'll see about that. The don't ask, don't tell. I'm just really on pins and needles just to see how they're gonna handle this, and that it is such a blatantly political decision was made at the end of a lame duck Congress, and people rolled on it after the service chief said this is not a good idea. But I guess it's a Christmas present to the far left there and Obama and the way he thinks. So going on from that, no, to the chat room, this is not, when going to Costco is not where I take Linda to lunch. No matter what you think. And the idea that...
Well, every now and then, that's not true. Every now and then we go out and get a pizza.
The way to get awake in the morning is to take a spoonful of instant coffee. Come on.
Oh. Boy, that sounds... You know what that reminded me of? You know... Somebody who works outside or works in a garage that's, you know, where it's cold and you have to work with, you know, mechanical things. You just, that's probably a great way to get it going. Just
take a spoonful of instant coffee. And
drink some water. Chase it down with some water. I love it.
How much time we got here, Bob?
And we're coming up on 15 seconds. We're going to take a
KCNR 1460. Carl on the bot. Join us after the news. Our radio, KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. Carl and Linda Bott, 605-4567. Or we're streaming and chatting on KCNR1460.com. It is 7:33 in the morning, December the 23rd. Big day.
Chance of fogginess today. And tonight as well, there'll be dense fog, so be very careful.
Could be rain, too.
For those of you who are driving, patchy fog today, high 53, low 42 tonight. The weather's always brought to you by Anselmo Vineyards. By the way, they are open Christmas Eve for it's a full menu. And New Year's, they are going to celebrate out at Anselmo by being open till 1:30 in the morning. That's pretty spectacular. Again, full menu. Anselmo Vineyards, our favorite destination getaway.
Okay, as you know, being the champions of our local community that we try to be, we get phone calls a lot and we get emails from people that have been doing battle with government entities. The government's here for a purpose, and the purpose is not to make our life harder. Not to do things that are not fair to us, and they do it by a lot of times onerous new regulations, or they just come up with something we've never heard of before. Larry, good morning.
Good morning, Carl. How are you doing?
Our guest is Larry Gasper.
It is.
And Larry called me, sent me something a month or so ago, and this thing's been kind of percolating along. But Larry, tell our listeners what's been going on with you.
Well, what's been going on is I was doing the free wood recycling and green waste recycling in Shasta County, and I've been doing it for about 3 or 4 years now. And we bought some property off of Latona Road down there off Highway 273 and was told if it was zoned for what we did, that it wouldn't be a problem. So I checked into that, and we moved our business over there and been down there working for 2 years grinding material for the whole community, for the school districts, for everyone for free. And it's been going along pretty good. So we here about 6-8 months ago, we got a problem with the county going on because we don't have a use permit. I didn't know nothing about a use permit. I was told I had to be zoned for what I was going to do, so that's what I did. But yeah, we've had numerous. We've probably got over 100 tons of material that the county's brought us to our facility to grind up. And
now, okay, let's get this straight now. So you went by everything you thought was what you were supposed to do.
Correct.
You got the zoning, and you got the land, and you got the chippers and all this. Mm-hmm. And this is to take care of all the excess wood and brush and all this.
Yeah, and the green waste.
The green waste.
And
right.
I've spent probably $450,000 of my money I had and borrowed against my properties and stuff to get this going because I thought it was a great thing. I was encouraged, you know, by everyone to do this. And
yeah, so it does things Greenway. And then the county has sent you how many tons? Thousand tons?
Yeah, thousands of tons.
Thousands of tons.
Yeah. You know, we kind of keep record of everything we do. We actually, when we grind material up, we separate from the county stuff from other people's stuff to keep a track of what they bring in because there's a grant system that you can get for doing that. So that's how we know about that.
Okay. And so then 6 months ago, they came up and said, cease and desist?
Yeah, they Jerry Bellinger from the county, he's a code enforcement officer. He's been coming down there for, 6-8 months or something, and they left notices, and I told him, I said, well, I did what I was asked about getting a piece of property with the right zoning, and then that wasn't good enough, so they threw these other permits that I have to get. But the strange part is they've got me down as a public nuisance and all this other stuff on what they did. They came in, and it's kind of a strange thing. What they did is they came in with two sheriff officers without even a court order, without even proper paperwork and due process. They demanded that we lock the gates on my business, and if we did not, they would arrest us. So we figured we better lock the gates, and so we shut our business down. And so now we've got several thousand tons of their material on my property.
So did you tell the county to come get it?
Yeah, I said we've been doing this with the county for quite a while. And I said I was encouraged to do this. I said we've also ground up all the medical records for the jail because the jail cannot bury their material or burn it. It had to be shredded then burnt. So I did that several loads. And so the process is they've been coming down there for a long time harassing me. And I said, well, what's the deal? And they said, well, we want you to pay us these use fees now, other than just
were these use fees always in existence?
Well, apparently yes. And what the thing is if it goes from if you don't pay them, then you become a public nuisance, and nothing has to change. Once you go in to pay the fee, it becomes they got me down as a public nuisance and all these other violations.
Right, until you pay the fees.
Until you pay this fee, and to me, and you know, I've talked to my attorneys. I've talked, and they said it's extortion. What it is, they said nothing changes. It's just when the money changes hands, then it becomes legal. But until then, it's a public nuisance and all this other stuff.
So what's happened with this?
Well, what's happened is the county realized that they were, the county's a big entity, and the left hand doesn't know what the right hand's doing. But once they kind of all figured out what they were doing, they sent me a claim form. The county sent me a claim form to put a claim against the county. And so we've
done. So the county is finding you on one side and giving you a claim form on the other. Is that correct?
Correct, yeah. And I've been to court. I was issued a ticket, and I went to court here last month. I had to go appear in court, and they kept me in traffic court. I had to go to traffic court for this violation of being a public nuisance, and they wouldn't let me. I asked the judge if I could go in front of they keep it at an infraction instead of misdemeanor, so you don't get to go in front of a jury. And I wanted a jury to hear what's been going on,
yeah,
and let them decide. Well, they wouldn't allow that. I asked the judge if they could move it into a misdemeanor.
Misdemeanor
and they said, well,
thing, huh?
And they said, well, we don't get that kind of request. And I said, well, that's what I'd like. But they wouldn't do it. So I went to court. They wouldn't even let me speak in court. Anything I had to ask Mr. Bellinger, they would, his attorney, the county broad attorney, and they would object, and the judge would agree with them that I, you know, I couldn't ask him any questions. And so I was found guilty, and so I was gave a $1,400 fine, which I have no money at this time because I've been working. So I just told them, I said, I can't pay you. And they said, well, can you afford $10 a month? And you've got to do a work program for the county, for, you know, you got to check on the probation officer. And so
would be part of that, you know, we've got to take a break here, but would part of that work program grinding up stuff the county has?
That's exactly what I said to the judge. And the judge said, Mr. Gasper, he says, I totally understand. He says, you're all right. You are doing a service. You're doing community service already. But the county doesn't have their permit money.
Okay. All right. Let's just hold it right there because right now Bob's rolling on the floor, and we've got to take a break here. So, and the chat room is commenting a lot too. So hang on just for a second.
Okay, thank you.
Carl on the Bot, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460. 60, home of Free Fire Media. Carl and Linda Bott, 605-4567 is our phone number. KCNR 1460 is where we're streaming and chatting. It's 7:44 in the morning. This portion of the show brought to you by B&T Satellite right off Airport Road. Doug Tooley and his guys in Dish Satellite do a great job for you. Very professional. They'll get it up now. He's got a rebate right now so you can get free HD TV. That's right, free HD TV, hundreds of channels. If you give him a call at 244-1988, that's Doug Tooley, local guy, 244-1988. Our guest is Larry Gasper, and Larry has been doing, is in a battle with the county, and we've gotten it up to the now, and we've only got a couple more minutes. So, Larry, you've gone in, they wouldn't let you testify really in court. They gave you a fine of $1,400, county service, and now they're going to every one of your properties and hitting you with tickets. Is that right?
Yeah, correct. And, you know, I have other properties, and they've put non-compliance on them and pretty much being harassed by the county. But what where we're headed now is we've submitted the paper that the county sent us because they realized that I do have a claim against them. I have an attorney firm out of Sacramento that submitted a claim form that they sent us. We filled it out here 2 weeks ago for $5 million because they keep violating my civil rights, my constitutional rights. They just are trashing everything. Another thing that's going on is we have a number now because we've from this ordeal that I'm going through, we understand that there's a lot of people in Shasta County that have had the similar problems where the guy comes on your property and trespass, they tie up the property, they come and do a public nuisance abatement on you, they take your property. But we have a number, my attorney does, for people to call in because we're looking to move this forward.
Okay, now what's the number?
The number is 245-2000.
245-2000. Okay. If you've had people from the Shasta County and their, what is that? Who are these guys? Code enforcement boys.
Yeah, code
coming
enforcement.
Coming in, and the part I don't understand, and what it looks like obviously our listeners and writers here don't understand, is how the county can be putting the thousands of tons of stuff for you to grind up and then tell you that you're not doing, you know, that you need a permit to do that, yet keep on, do they still bring the stuff by?
Well, they would like to. Like I said, I know a lot of people in this county. We've been here a long time, and I personally talked to some county employees, and they said that they'd love for me to get back open. It saves the county money, saves them time. It's just a good thing for everybody. But what we've come to find out is we've actually went down and applied for our use permit for our piece of property through the county. We've paid the money to get this facility back open, but it's been nothing but a nightmare. I've actually had to hire two consultant firms, engineers, to work on this. They're doing it pro bono until we get going. But they said they keep just getting run around up there to get our permits.
No, they do. So you've tried to apply for the permit.
Yeah, we're in that process right now, but we're still being
harassed. How about harassed? Is that a good word?
Harassed, exactly right. That's part of the
problem. Have you talked to who's your county? Who's your county supervisor?
On that part, I don't know if it's Glenn Hawes or one of the other guys down there.
I would find out if it's Glenn Hawes or Les Baugh, and the first thing I would do is call them and say, I am being harassed. I've got a $5 million lawsuit against the county. If you don't help me, I'm going to include you in it.
Well, they're already included in it. The lawsuit is being put together right now. Everybody in the county, we I'm actually spending time during the day going up to the county and getting my records of when I come in and they ask who I am, and then I have to sign a piece of paper getting information. We're getting all that information to show we're trying to get our permits. And it's just a long battle. But, you know, I think what I'm going to end up having to do is just, I put my heels down and said, I'm not going to keep putting up with these people. Because this is the problem in our county is people come in and try to do business here. They make, instead of them opening their arms and saying, hey, you know what, let's make it easy for you guys. Let's get this economy rolling, put people to work. They do not want to do that. They want to be in sole control that they're squeezing us, they're squeezing everybody to death on money. And if I've got, and I'll tell you what, I'm willing to go to jail. I'm not going to go to my next court hearing. If they want me, they know where I live. I've had enough of them. And my attorneys told me, they said, you know, Larry, you are doing what you have rights to do. You know, these people are way out of control.
Well, you know what I'm going to do is, like I said, give your county, find out who your county supervisor is, give them a call and tell them what's going on and then call us back.
Well, you know, I have talked to Les Paul. And we've been playing phone tag, but I still think it drops on deaf ears. You know,
Les Baugh, give Les Baugh a call. He was just reelected. Mm-hmm. Give Les Baugh a call and ask him what's going on. Why is this happening to you? And then tell us what happens.
Yeah. Well, I think
people need to know how their supervisor is supporting them.
Yeah. Well, I'd like to get that number out there one more time for everyone to call that's had similar problems or they've had their property, you know, people trespassing the county people.
Yeah.
And it's 245-2000, and the attorney's also looking at doing a class action lawsuit if there's more of these things that have been happening against the county. That'll be a second lawsuit.
Well, you know, the county's already got another lawsuit against it for doing things like this that I know of. So, okay, well, look, Larry, thanks for giving us a call and giving us an update, but give us a call back after you've talked to your supervisor and see what they, you know, see what he can do for you. See if this is, you know, it seems like it should be a more, you know, it should be a better way of doing business here in this county.
Well, they don't. And another thing is like I said, we're going to be, we've submitted our claim, and if we don't hear back from them, then we're just going to submit our lawsuit in the court system and let the jury hear it.
Well, that's the way to do it. Okay, Larry, thanks so much for your phone call, and I'll say Merry Christmas to you. May this new year be better.
Merry Christmas.
So, and thank you.
And stay in touch with us, Larry.
Yes, let us know what's going on. And
okay, thanks a lot.
And coming up after the break, headlines. School retracts permission slip for the Pledge of Allegiance.
Can you believe that you have
Let's get going on this one.
Yeah, let me sign a permission slip for the Pledge of Allegiance.
For your child. Can you talk about it with your child? Should you agree with your child? We're going to take a break. We'll see you after these messages.
1960, Oma Free Fire Media. Carl and Linda Bott, good morning. 7:52, December the 23rd. Two more shopping days till Christmas. This portion of the show brought to you by Tobacco and Brew, right on 2143 Hilltop Drive. Great place. Find us walk-in humidor in the state, if not west of the Mississippi. And, of course, Espresso Joe's. Great coffee there, served so many different ways. You can buy all those different types of coffees as presents. And also you can get espresso machines, French presses, all that as presents from Tobacco and Brew. I'm saying presents because Bob and I still haven't shopped. And we're going to meet Saturday morning real early and try and find a place that's open at 4 o'clock in the morning. So
I'm sure there's some.
Okay, this is what we promised. You know that the state, was this New Jersey? Or which state is this?
Massachusetts
said that you've got to say the Pledge of Allegiance in your school classroom. However, the court said, yeah, but it has to be offered up, but a child does not have to stand up and say the pledge. Okay? Well, there's this one school that has not had the pledge for 7 years. The Pledge of Allegiance for 7 years. So they decided, well, you know what, maybe we should start this because people complain.
Well, the principal sent out permission slips so that the families could discuss with their children about the pledge. That's what he's saying now, about what the pledge is, the Pledge of Allegiance. Should you say it? Why should you say it? What's it about?
Yeah, but essentially it was a permission slip that the parents had to sign so their children could say the Pledge of Allegiance to the United States of America, one nation under God, indivisible with liberty and justice for all. The part, I guess, okay, now part of this is that the children don't have to stand up for the pledge. Also, the teachers who do not agree with the Pledge of Allegiance. They don't have to stand up either. Now, frankly, I believe a teacher not standing up for the Pledge of Allegiance has a huge impact on a child.
Yes.
Not standing up. Because a teacher plays such a big part in their life. Children spend more time with teachers nowadays than they do with their parents. So here's a teacher not standing up for the Pledge of Allegiance. And is it because they don't want to pledge allegiance to our country? Or is it that under God part that gets to them? The Supreme Court says it's okay to have that under God part. So I guess if you do not agree
with saying the
Pledge of Allegiance, that you don't have to stand up. So the teachers don't do that. Now, frankly, I find this whole thing ridiculous. You need permission. Children need permission from their parents. Anyway, this thing was rescinded. The guy pulls it back, says, oh, huge mistake. That's not what I meant. Well, of course it was what he meant. But the part that's really the scary part, my friends, is this. Why? The scary part was when I moved the microphone around, it makes noises.
Yes, that's true.
The scary part about this is having teachers not stand up for that or even want to lead the children in a Pledge of Allegiance. And then to listen to some of the comments that were on the street when you listen to it, like, oh, no, you know, I just don't think, you know, it's, you know, if they don't want to do it, they shouldn't have to do it. You know, what are we becoming? You know, this nation used to be a nation that you stood up for our country. And now we're getting into this point where that little political interests are taking over. We're being attacked by the courts. We're being attacked by things that when a person wants to do the right thing, they're being hammered for it. We're having our school systems, our education system continues to go downhill, and yet nobody seems to want to make a stand. We're being inundated by illegals. Our people are being killed on the border. Nobody wants to make a stand, but yet you want to go and change what's going on in the military. We can do that. How about all those people getting together on the START Treaty and saying, everybody that voted for the START Treaty, how about voting for this? Close the borders. What's so wrong about that? Because they don't want to. Because the nation's under attack and we don't realize it. In everything that we're doing. It's in the schools. You know what? Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. A part of our past. A part of our... It's been with us centuries. But if you say Merry Christmas, you've got stores afraid to say Merry Christmas. Happy Holidays. Oh, yeah. Because you can't say Merry Christmas. Oh, wait a minute. That tree's wrong. Take it out of the lobby. Well, then, if that's the case, all you governments, stop taking Christmas Day off. If it's not true, if you're afraid to do that, then stop taking any type of religious holiday off. Forget Easter. No Easter break. No Christmas vacation. That's hypocritical. So stop doing it. Frankly, I believe in Christmas. Linda agrees that believes in Christmas. Our friends believe in Christmas. We may have friends that don't believe in Christmas. That's okay. We say Happy Hanukkah to them.
And we also believe very strongly in the flag. And when I look at the flag, I think of those red and white stripes and the blue stars. And I think of all the people through our wonderful history and some parts of our history that aren't so wonderful. But people stood up for something and lives were lost for the liberty of this country. And that is what the flag stands for. It's a promise to be a good American.
Yeah, so anyway, when this happens, we think about it and we think, you know, there's so many good things, so many great things about this country, and we'll continue to remember those. But every so often you get something like this and it becomes ridiculous.
And coming up after the 8 o'clock news after Fox, speaking of somebody serving, we have with City Council Dick Dickerson.
Yeah, Dick's going to be in here. He's going to be talking about this charter city, and he's going to be talking about what he thinks is going to be happening here next year for our great city of Reading. So stay with us after the news, and we'll get right back to you. This is Carl and Linda Bott on Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media.
The This is KCNR Shasta, Redding.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. Carl and Linda Bott, good morning. It's 8:05, December the 23rd. Two more shopping days till Christmas. Phone lines here are 605-4567, and we're streaming and chatting on KCNR1460.com. This portion of the show is brought to you by Crystal Air. And Crystal Air is just giving me a ton of facts that we try to share with you all the time. The 80% of the average household's energy consumption is related to heating, air conditioning, and water heating systems. Geo Exchange Heating and Air Conditioning has proven it can cut your heating and air conditioning consumption by 50 to 60% and translates into a total energy bill reduction of 40 to 50%. Find out more on www.crystalair.info or call 530-623-1000. That's Crystal Air. Our guest today has been a fixture in the North State politics for decades. Decades. He's shaking his head. He's looking around. His eyes shaking his head. Dick Dickerson, good morning.
Good morning, Carl. How are you?
Fine. Thanks for coming on today.
Good.
Hey, when I say that you've been here as a fixture for decades, and it's true, but can you, let's start off by just talking a little bit about you. Your history here.
I'm not history mind. Yet.
Well, I mean, your background. Your background.
Okay. I thought you were saying I was history.
No. No, you know what? You've been here since I've been here. I mean, I've seen you all the time. Every time there's a place or something going on, you're here.
Well, I came here with my wife in 1986 at the request of the Shasta County Law Enforcement Committee to start a narcotics task force. Ran that for 8 years. Retired in 93 and... went on to the County Board of Supervisors for 5 years, was elected to the State Assembly, and had two-year terms down there, and then I've been on the Reading City Council for 6 years now, going in, finishing up my sixth year.
Wow. That's a, you've had a lot of public service.
Well, I have. I don't learn very well, I guess. I keep putting myself out there. Sometimes I wonder why until I understand how we need people to step forward.
So it's not all the money you make as a city councilman, then, huh?
Well, no, it's not.
What is it, $500 a month?
You get $600 a month.
$600 a month? Does that pay for the Maalox you have to drink because your stomach's upset half the time?
Well, actually, I don't let it get to me like that. It could if you let it, but... there's so much good about this community and the people in it that that's my Maalox. I don't have to suffer through any physical discomforts because of what goes on in this community. It's a great community. Of course, we have our problems like every place else in the state, the country, and the world today from an economic standpoint. But other than that, I don't want to live anywhere else.
Before we get into our questions and everything, we're going to take a quick break here because I don't want to have to break for that. Because once we start, I'd like to go as long as we can. So we're going to take a quick break here. Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. Carl and Linda Bott, good morning, December the 23rd, 8:11. Gosh, Christmas is quickly approaching. And our guest is, we got our early Christmas present here, Dick Dickerson. Dick, are you all prepared for Christmas?
I can't figure out what Carl wants. I am ready for Christmas.
Are you ready? Yeah. Really? Are you all shopped and everything?
I'm all shopped out. Everything is taken care of, and family's looking forward to a nice time.
Well, I tell you what, Christy Largent sent me an email, and she says that for her company, it's Arbonne, said, hey, how about you do a 12 days of Christmas or 6 days of Christmas? Where I deliver you the presents, and you just give them to them every day. Hmm. See, Linda's not here right now. I'm talking about that. She's probably listening on the radio, though. Uh-oh. Anyway, so every day I give her a present up until Christmas Day.
Well, good for you.
Yeah, she thinks that, I think she knows it's not me.
Well, she does now.
Yeah, well, she knows now. Well, she sees this bag of presents underneath the desk. It might have something to do with it. Today on the front page of the Record Searchlight, I mean, was it like a kick in the face or what?
Well, it was. You see three of the stories that are on there having to do with companies closing and having difficult times. Even the one in Hayfork has some effect on what happens here. It's just not good news to wake up to. It's another sign of the times. It's difficult times out there.
Is it indicative of what you believe the future is here, though?
No. I think that we will begin to see a turnaround. It's going to take Shasta County and the city of Redding perhaps a little longer than it will for the rest of the state and the nation to begin showing improvements. But I believe that we'll have some improvements here soon from an economic standpoint.
Okay. Now, this a little bit about still. I want to talk about a lot of things today, but since we're talking about the economy, Stillwater, there's a letter of intent or something like that.
Well, we have a letter of intent with Southern Aluminum Finishing, which is a local company. Well, it's a company from Atlanta, Georgia, but they currently have a small operation here, and they intend to expand that operation. And we hope to take that up, make a final decision between the company and the city at our meeting on the 4th of January. The paperwork is on the company's desk. If they get everything done in time for it to be prepared for the public to review and us to consider, it'll be on the 4th. If not, it'll be probably the meeting after that. But I see no reason to believe that it won't happen, and it'll be a good first step for Stillwater, I believe.
Okay, and the for that, how many employees are they talking about when they're finally up and
they're running? Looking at 50 initially. But if their business goes as they project it will go, and if they're successful, they will expand and hire more folks.
Okay. I know we're giving them breaks on the land.
Yes.
And are we giving them, and they're to pay us X amount of dollars, but they've got to meet certain restrictions, or they have to hit certain dates to get things done, or they it's not a penalty, I guess, but they just have to start paying more money, or?
Well, that's correct. That's part of what we're working on now, the exact details of the city contract with them. And it will require that they meet certain benchmarks relative to the construction of the project, hiring folks, keeping folks on for a period of time. And as each of those steps are accomplished, then the cost of the land to them will go down. Mm-hmm. And if they meet all of the requirements of the contract, then it will zero out.
Okay. Are they paying any money monthly in this thing, or is it just...
I haven't seen that contract yet. Don't know.
All right.
I don't know what... that's part of the proposal we'll be looking at.
Okay. Well, so it is. It's a start. Now, there was another one about a paper company. But has that one kind of like gone away? Or
no,
is that still not gone away. Still in the hopper, too?
It's still in the hopper. The my understanding is that the company very much wants to locate at Stillwater. It's a matter of them internally achieving some contracts with retailers. And if they are successful in doing that, then they'll be able to go forward with their financing and locate at Stillwater. That will be a company that will bring in initially about 200 jobs. But as they expand, hopefully they expand to a 24/7 operation, they'll have even more people hired from the community. Mm-hmm.
One of the questions, you know, since this advent of this chat room in our on the radio here, we get just like dozens of questions that come through. We try to get to as many as we can. This one was, and there's so many empty buildings in Redding and Shasta County. Why build the Stillwater project? But this started long ago. Stillwater.
Well, Stillwater has been maybe 12 years in the planning now. And 12 years ago, there weren't all these empty buildings in Redding, and once the investment was made, when I came on the council in 2005, I think Stillwater was pretty well established. The city had invested so much money into the process, it didn't make sense to fold your cards and leave the table. So we continued to do that. And there are other potential opportunities for some of the unoccupied buildings to be occupied as we go forward.
Yeah.
I don't think the city or the Economic Development Corporation or anyone else is hanging everything on Stillwater.
The what other types of industry would you like to see come here into Redding?
Well, you want to have good paying jobs is the first requirement in my viewpoint. We need to raise the level of income that comes into our citizens. If we're going to reverse the economic trends, we have to have good paying jobs that come in. Now, I am not going to be particular about what kind of industry or business it is, as long as it meets the requirements of the clean air standards and all the other things that we not only have in place, but need in order to keep the community the kind of place to live that we like. So, you know, high tech, everybody always talks about high tech, and I suppose that's good. But if we just get a good old down-to-earth manufacturing plant of some kind, I would, high tech or not, I would accept that too. So I am not, none of us are in a position.
Yeah, none of us are opposed to
particular.
Right. Nobody's opposed to business as long as it comes in here.
That's right.
And I understand that. Do you, you know, during the election, this past election, and we're going to talk more about it, but that one aspect of it is how friendly is Reading to businesses? We had all the candidates that were in here, 10 of them, and almost to a person, I think to a person, they said that they wanted to take a look at what we're doing with business, how we can attract business, and the things that are going on with the fees, why does it take so long to get permits and all of that. What's your take on that?
Well, I don't know that it does. You know, a couple of years ago when we were going through an election cycle, Chamber of Commerce commissioned what they called a white paper, where they took a look at what the city was doing in that regard, and it was, in my view, completely slanted against the city. So I did some research of my own, looking into the satisfaction of the customers, the departments responsible for issuing permits and licenses and all that, did a very good job of surveying their clients. And the numbers escape me now, but it was in the high 80s, low 90s approval of how the city conducts businesses. There was one company in particular that is responsible for locating sites for banks throughout the western United States, and they sent comments to the city that they wished all of the cities that they dealt with were as easy to work with the city of as the city of Reading was. So I think there are two sides to every story. When you go look and search for problems, you're going to find them.
Yeah.
But you'll also find a lot of good stories if you look.
Well, we like to hear that too, Dick. And you know, it's why we like to have people of different. I mean, all different people in here, they have different outlooks on things.
Now, that's not to say that some people don't have difficulties as they go through the process. There's no doubt about that.
Oh yeah, there's. I mean, it's a bureaucracy, and we probably have a tendency to hear stories here that when people call us about problems that,
well, sure,
you know, for weeks they've been waiting for months to get to get something done. If they call you or they call Patrick Jones or anybody that has to take a personal interest, then they all of a sudden they get it in the next week. So,
well, you know, radio is sort of like newspaper. Bad news sells. You don't have people call up and say, "Hey, Carl, can I come in and tell you about this really good experience I had with the government?"
Well, believe it or not, we've had that happen. and you know what? We applaud it because, yeah, you know, we want to hear good news. Okay, we want to hear good news. We want to know that our city is a good city.
Well,
we've
got to
take a break.
It is.
You know what? And we're here. Been here a year, and the reason we're here is because this is a great city and great people. We've got to take a break. Carl Lindebaugh, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media.
Good morning, North State. This is KCNR 1460. You are listening to Free Fire Radio here this morning. We're going to have patchy fog. It's going to be high today of 53, tonight low of 42. Dense fog tonight, folks. So if you're driving, I know Carl's going to be heading down to pick up the kids from the airport. So he's going to be dashing out of here right away. I had to go run a quick errand to... And I did hear you talk about the 12 Days of Christmas,
ooh,
and I love
Bob,
it.
Bob, you said
you
wouldn't.
What? I love it. So, and I really appreciate Christy Largent doing that. That's great marketing. Which leads me to a question that came into the chat room. of course. We love to have you guys interact. Dick, again, welcome to the program. For those of you who are just tuning in, Dick Dickerson is our guest this morning.
Thank you.
Glad to be here. Taking over the show, as usual.
One of the, we have several people that are in the chat room, one of which was that a comment was, Stillwater has been in the works for years. Problem is that Redding does not market very well. What say you about that?
Well, I don't know what experience the questioner has relative to our marketing. We do have a nationwide marketing firm trying to move Stillwater. They do what I think is a good job. We need to remember that we're, I hate to keep saying this, but we're in the middle of a recession. Businesses are reluctant to hire, let alone open new plants and new factories. We just need to keep up the effort, keep going through this. Stillwater is going to pay off. The Economic Development Corporation that we have here in Shasta County works very, very hard to promote Stillwater and the entire area for business. So it's not a lack of marketing so much as it is a lack of a good, solid economic situation within the country.
Well, wouldn't you, or do you disagree, or would you agree that if you were somebody on the East Coast thinking of moving your company to Redding and you looked at the cover of a Record Searchlight, you would think this is a very depressed area? And shame on the Record Searchlight for, I mean, we love the Record Searchlight. We use them and talk about them. But to, like you said, to have such a morose, like we're going to hell in a handbasket, you know, with everything, everything on the front page is that we're dying.
Well, that's a selection that the newspaper staff makes about what to put on the paper and where to put it. I would have preferred perhaps if one or two of those stories were on the local section or something, but it's not. They do what they feel is best for their business, I guess. But I want to encourage people not to get discouraged by the bad news. We're probably not at the bottom of this yet, but I have to feel that we're near it. I have to feel that things have happened on the national level, for instance, the continuation of the tax cuts. So business people now have at least a little bit of feeling of security for the next 2 years about what their taxes are going to be. And my hope is that will help them make some decisions about expansion and hiring and so forth. And as that prevails across the country, I hope some of it lands here in Redding, and I am confident that it will.
I think it will. I think that they have just had one of the insurance firms is made up, or the regulatory firm is coming up here to Redding. Did I see that?
Well, that's State Fund.
State Fund is coming up here. That's about 100 people that are going to be bringing in good salaries up here, which means they're going to be buying things. They're going to be going to schools. They're from what I understand, is their pay is going to stay the same from Southern California up here to Redding. So they're going to.
I would maybe like to challenge the Record Searchlight for tomorrow or Friday's paper to have a front page that has nothing but good economic news, such as the things you're talking about.
Yeah. We have people visiting. It'd be nice to have the people in Ohio or wherever it is that looks at happy stuff.
It would be. It is never helpful to have all negativity.
Yeah. I mean, now and then, you know, some things happen, but, you know, and we've got...
Remember our friend that was a business owner that talked about that he put pages?
He did. He gave him three papers. He put out 10 papers in front of him, and they wanted him to advertise in the Record Searchlight. He says, why would I want to advertise in this? Mm-hmm. There's not one story that's positive.
On the front page. Hello! Okay. We got to take a break. Going back to some of the chat room questions after these messages.
Yeah, okay. When we come back, too, I want to talk about charter cities.
Okay.
And the good ideas about it, bad ideas. Do you think there's a time for it? Is it something that's coming for the future? But I'll ask that right after the break. Carl and the Bot, Free Fire Radio, right here on KCNR 1460. Hey, Merry Christmas. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. Good morning, 8:33 in the morning, December 23rd. This portion of the show brought to you by Cypress Square Barbershop, right on Athens Avenue, right there in the Cypress Square. And
what was that?
What was that?
That was right on.
Oh, okay, that was Bob cheering because Bob gets his haircuts there and his beard trimmed.
When?
DC Tim, and the man in black. great Americans give great haircuts, great prices, and if you're a veteran, you get a discount. It's not a place to get your hair styled, though, to get it waved, to get it coiffed. It's a barbershop, man's last stronghold. That's right, man's last stronghold. Go in there. You're not going to see Oprah on the TV. You're going to see car racing. You're going to see mixed martial arts. Anyway, hey, it's a great place. It's a great place.
You can smell the testosterone as soon as you come in.
It's a good place to
cut it with a knife.
Right. Cypress Square Barbershop. It's a good place to drop off the kids, let them learn. There you go. Okay, hey, our guest, Dick Dickerson. First of all, before we get back to Dick, okay, tell everybody about the jingle.
Okay, the jingle was written by James Gabriel. I wanted, you know, something for my Thursday night show, which I call, it's On the Spot with Linda Bott. And I wanted to do a show that was like Sex and the City, G-rated. So it would be fun, girls' night out, shopping, music, theater. And, of course, Lisa Collins comes on and talks about what's happening in the theater. And Bethany comes in and talks about product. Tonight I will have a guest hopefully calling in that you're going to be surprised. It does a fabulous voiceover. She's got a famous voice. And hopefully she's calling in tonight.
Permission to express an opinion, sir.
Sure.
Linda, in the looks department, you kick Sarah Jessica Parker's behind.
Well.
Isn't that sweet? Oh, okay, Bob.
Thank you. I'm honored.
You've got a job next year.
All right.
Dick Dickerson is our guest. Okay, Dick, Patrick Jones was on earlier this week. He believes it's time for Reading to be a charter city. What do you think?
Well, I'm not opposed to looking at the possibility, but the first question you need to ask yourself is why. Reading was incorporated as a city way back in the 1850s. We've been a general law city since then. Things have gone well for the city of Reading. I would need to understand why Patrick or anyone thinks that a charter is needed. And if they can explain to the community that there are such severe problems within the city operation of the city of Reading that only a charter can fix it, well, then let's talk about it. But just the idea, and I'm not clear. Maybe you can help me with what, since Patrick was on your show, about some of the thought process that he has gone through to arrive at this conclusion. I haven't talked with him. I don't know what his motivation is. But the only thing I know is I read in the newspaper he thought we'd be better served by a full-time, full-paid mayor who had the ability to get in and really probe the operation of the city and look for positive changes and that type of thing.
Do you think the city is running well?
Do I think the city? I think the city is running well. We have the city is... needs a management individual who knows how to manage a city. There are so many intricacies about running a city, so many laws and regulations and requirements and abilities to handle people, to motivate people to deliver the services that the city is supposed to deliver. I don't know that you go out and you find that through an electoral process. You know, there are different styles of charters, and there are different styles of city council, mayor relationships. There are a strong mayor format. There's a format for having a city manager, strong mayor. If you want to have that kind of discussion, let's have that kind of discussion. But once again, I go back to this. Why? And... to answer your other question, I believe the city is well run.
Okay, the one of the things that Patrick was talking about.
Period. I like that. I saw
One of the things that Patrick was talking about was the thing about a mayor and a city council is that there are so many intricacies to this government that people working it part time, which is what many, if you're on the city council, it is. It's a part time job the way it's set up.
Well, it's a part-time job. If you
have a regular business, it's a part-time job.
Well, yes. But on the other hand, if you commit to running for the city council and you believe that the way to run the city better is by having the elected council be fully involved in it, then you should be fully involved because you step forward and put yourself out there and said, I want to help run this city. And to say that I can only do it if you pay me full-time salary, I think is disingenuous.
Okay, but isn't it also somewhat disingenuous to say that it all the time it takes, because this is a lot of intricacies to this, if somebody has a business, and they've got to make up their mind, which one is going to suffer? And so it means then is that it eliminates some people from running for office, because if it's a full-time job, that means their business goes to the side.
Well, I don't believe that it is a full-time job. I don't believe that it requires a full-time job. If you, as a city council, hire competent management who know what they're doing, know how a city should be ran, and run it that way, it is not a full-time job. It's the responsibility of the city council to set policies, give direction to the staff, and let the staff implement those policies and directions. And then you, as a council member, hold them accountable for doing so. It would be a chaotic situation if you had five elected politicians trying to run the city without professional help.
Well, I don't think that's what he said. He said there would still be the city manager and all that.
That's what I said. I don't know what he has in mind.
Okay.
And it's very complex.
It is.
To do a charter. You know, there's two ways you can do a charter, in essence. You can have a charter written up by the existing city council and put it before the voters. Or you can go the other way with a commission. You have to elect 15 commissioners to write a charter, and then that charter has to, either way, it has to be submitted to the voters. And it's a long, laborious, intricate kind of a process. So it's not something that you wake up one morning and say, we ought to have a city charter, let's do it.
Okay. All right, we got to take a break here. Our guest, Dick Dickerson, we're talking about the prospects of a charter city, the pluses and minuses on it. Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460.
Good morning.
Yeah, welcome back to Free
Love
Fire Radio.
Love the chat room going on. We have some new entries. It's fun.
And by the way,
screen is scrolling.
Linda is a beautiful person, and Carl and Dick have great faces for radio. You know, I remember that. Thank you very much.
Hey, be careful today. There's going to be patchy fog with the high today. The temperature will be 53. Tonight, dense fog. So if you're driving, please be careful. The weather's always brought to you by Anselmo Vineyards.
Yeah, and this portion of the show brought to you by Tobacco and Brew right on 2143 Hilltop Drive. Joe and Shelley have put together a great business there, the finest walk-in humidor in the state. And plus, Espresso Joe's, for that kind of coffee you want at great prices. They also have a meeting room there that they just open up free of charge. Different groups use it. Plus, you can go in there. It's got free Wi-Fi. You can drink your coffee. Be on the computer. It's a great place. Joe and Shelley support this community. Support the veterans. Great Americans. That's Tobacco and Brew. Our guest is Dick Dickerson. We're talking the charter city. You had some statistics.
Well, just for the listeners' information, there are 478 cities within the state of California. 120 of them have charters. About 25% are charter cities. Some of the larger cities, like Los Angeles and San Francisco, have a strong mayor form of government. I don't know of any cities the size of Reading who currently have what you call a strong mayor form of government. There could be some out there, but I'm unaware of them.
They're saying L.A., and I'm just getting this across the chat room. It says Bell, Vallejo, and L.A. are charter cities.
I'm not sure about Vallejo. Bell definitely was. Vallejo is.
Vallejo is.
It's Vacaville that some people have used as a bad example, but I'm not sure Vacaville is.
L.A. is also a sanctuary city. The folks have spoken. That's also within. What does that mean to you?
A sanctuary city?
Sanctuary.
Oh, sanctuary city.
The folks have spoken.
Well, I think it means in that case, they said it's a sanctuary city. Anyway. But going back to right here, though, as a charter city, other comments is that management of local government workers have a low expectation of work produced by their subordinates, giving them a high overhead. Do you see that from your position?
You're going to have to read that to me again.
It says here is that one of the comments is that managers of local government workers have a low expectation of work produced by their subordinates, making them high overhead. Do you
thereby driving up local government costs?
Right. Do you see that as something that's going on here?
I don't. And let me tell you the reason why. A city exists for one purpose, and that's to deliver services to the citizens who live in that community. Those services can be public protection, water, streets and roads, and in the case of Reading, electricity. That's the reason they exist. You can only deliver services by having people. And if you have good people, you're going to have a good level of service. And from time to time, you're going to have an occurrence within the city delivery of services that people are upset about. There's no question about that. But I firmly believe that overall we have a good staff of city workers who deliver those services. Our responsibility as a city government is to continue to use the resources we have to do one thing, and that's deliver those services.
The one of the in this last election, of course, is very contentious with.
Really?
I don't know if you noticed that, Dick, but.
There were a couple days.
We kind of noticed that up here.
There were a couple days that I just had to. It was, you know, it was so intense for us.
We had, of course, we had everybody here. We had all the unions here. We had, we hosted all types of events like that. The proposition,
only imagine
not proposition,
what it was like.
But A and B was passed. Passed with a large vote. For those, what do you see as an impact?
Nothing. They're advisory in nature, in my viewpoint. They can set a tone for what the community would like to see the council do relative to future labor negotiations. But what they are is an opening position that the voters said they want the city council to take as they go forward with bargaining. Once that opening position has been delivered, negotiations begin. And you can work to soften the blow of the opening position or strengthen it. So it really is, it's just a signal from the citizens that the government of the city of Reading needs to settle their labor disputes. And that's what we're working for. We're working for that before all of this started. Before the recession started, we had begun a program where the city was setting aside money to meet the GASB 45 requirements. We were doing more than $1 million a year, which in 9 years, had we been able to do that, we would have met our obligations. The recession came in, we could no longer do that. We had begun negotiating with the unions to have them take part of their medical costs before the recession came, and the same with the benefits, the retirement benefits. The city was pointed in that direction already. Now the recession has emphasized the need to do that, and we will. As we go forward this year, that's going to be one of the biggest primary responsibilities for the city, is to work with the units we're going to negotiate with the next year, which are the IBEW, the electric workers, have a contract due, and the RPOA, the Reading Police Officers Association, have a contract due. We need to work with those two units to begin to soften the blow of the retirement benefits and the medical, and we're going to do it.
One of the questions that just came in, I'd like to go back to that other one, too, about, you know, on the retirement things. But this one here is also an important one. We ask this every time. The sale of the convention center and the rodeo grounds. For, against, what do you think about that?
Find me a buyer. Have that buyer make an offer, and we'll talk about it. I am not opposed to doing it under the right circumstances. It would have to be a really magnanimous, if that's a good word, offer from someone to make it worth doing. It's a jewel that we have there now. It can be even better. As Turtle Bay expands, you can be either for or against the hotel, but as it expands, it's going to make that area even more of a jewel for the city of Reading to keep. So I'm open to just about anything, but the devil is always in the details.
Yeah. Well, we know the McConnell Foundation wants it.
Well, I don't know that.
They've said it.
No, well, they may not have thrown the money out.
Yeah. But yeah. The reason is you're absolutely right. It is a jewel down there, and as we with the economy the way it is, it's. I see that there's a lot of people that are probably interested in it because it's going to take a lot of money to fix up that convention center, isn't it?
Well, there's some deferred maintenance that needs to be done on it. But, you know, I have an old car that I'm going to hang on to because it's pretty valuable and I like it, and it needs some deferred maintenance. But just because of tough economic times doesn't mean I'm going to sell the car.
Okay. All right, Dick, we got to take a break here. We're getting our last segment. This is Carl Lindebaugh, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460.
Down, back,
welcome
down.
Back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. This portion of the show brought to you by B&T Satellite. B&T Satellite, Doug Tooley, local guy, been in the business since 85, he was a veteran of the 82nd Airborne, does Dish TV. He's got free Dish TV right now. Call him, 244-1988. He'll put in Dish TV. You'll get it free with rebates. That's B&T Satellite, Doug Tooley, 244-1988. Our guest is Dick Dickerson. Dick, let's finish off this year with good news. What do you think is going to be happening here, or your projections?
Well, I think there are a number of good economic signs out there. We touched on briefly on Southern Aluminum Finishing. I think that's going to be a done deal. It's going to bring some good jobs. A state fund is coming. Are planning to expand the number of employees they have up here. They're going to bring in some pretty high paying jobs for the Reading area, which will help stimulate the economy. There's a couple other businesses out there that are looking to relocate at Reading who do not want a lot of publicity or talking to the community yet about them because they're still in the preliminary stages. So I'm seeing a lot of good signs in that regard. And you talk about delivery of services. We're going to be, the city's right in the middle of expanding the wastewater treatment plant to deliver better services in that regard to the citizens of Reading. So there's just a lot of positive things. We are going to solve the labor relations problems in this community starting this year.
I believe that. And I'll tell you, Dick, we had the opportunity here with the radio is to talk to everybody that's been involved with this. Everybody. All the unions, all the people that have been elected, everybody. The ones that do the negotiation. And there's no doubt in my mind that you're right. Because everybody wants this to be settled, right. and they want it negotiated out. But I think that, I believe you, I think this year is going to show that everybody's willing to give and everybody's willing to move forward. This election's over, so let's go forward and let's make our city just the type of great place that it is.
We just want to continue it to be the great place that it is.
Well,
I'm like you, Carl. I could live any place I want to. I have a retirement that is my primary source of income, and they could send that check any place in the world. But I choose to live here in Reading. I choose to live here only partially because of the beautiful geographical setting. I choose to live here primarily because of the people of Reading.
That's true.
It's just we are just full of so many good people.
We really are.
We have our share of troublemakers and losers, like anybody.
But we are
a great community.
Well, Dick, we really appreciate you being our guest today, and we really appreciate the your commenting and coming. And you always have a place here. So everybody that is in office, we encourage them to take part. I do want to clear up something that's in the chat room that concerns me. It hit the news something about Savage Nation. We did receive notice yesterday. He is on loud and clear.
He's not leaving.
Whatever stupid thing that came out about a dispute, We just know that the corporate company, as well as his, whatever, their communication or their negotiation, it is on loud and clear. So,
according to our company, he's there's no problem. He's on for another 2 years at least, so
yes,
we're okay. And also,
Thank you, Dick.
There's been a comment here that Dick has been a faithful servant of the North State and deserves our accolades. So,
well, thank you, Mr. Dickerson.
Thanks for that acknowledgement. That's much appreciated.
Yeah, so, well, Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you and yours. To everyone out there, Merry Christmas and Happy Holidays.
And we'll make an announcement tomorrow who's replacing Dr. Laura.
That's right. We've got that replacement ready, and we're ready to rock.
I'm not available.
Oh, you're going to break that contract already? Okay. 70% of the people think, okay.
We'll be here tomorrow, and we want you to be safe out there with the fog.
Okay, if you see me heading south at a rapid rate, can we get some police out here, Dick, to kind of give me an escort and a California Highway Patrol so I can make it down to the airport?
Thank you very much
for coming aboard today.
And, Bob, everybody be safe in your travels. Our kids are going to be here, so I might have the grandkids on the spot with Linda Bott tonight asking about what their wishes are with Santa.
Okay, just remember it's the good guys against the bad guys. Which are you?
You've been listening to KCNR, Shasta Redding.